Tonight, I want to speak to you an important message around guarding our thoughts and the influence that your thoughts have over your lives. For whatever reason, that's what's been haunting me in my brain. So if you feel singled out in this message, good. Because I'm not singling you out. I'm actually preaching myself. That's where most of the thoughts come from. But in Philippians 4:8, I'm just referencing this, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "Finally, brethren and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." Let those things be in your mind. And so this scripture is, you know, God's directive for us to control our thoughts and not let ourselves spiral into negativity. And I know that there's many challenges to that, right? At least I'm challenged. There's lots of stuff that comes our way in our current environments. And so this world that we live in can be fraught with stress. There's pressure. There's constant distractions that can lead you away from that path, which also would lead you away from the path of righteousness. But all these external factors, that come in, you might have noticed they're not all conducive to a very healthy, God-centered mindset. Anyone recognize that? Okay. I love the news. I love conspiracy theories, or as I call them, facts that people just don't accept yet, right? But if you pay attention to all the news, or all the theories, or all the social media, or all that stuff, you'll notice that they don't all come with you with very happy news. Happy news usually doesn't sell. You don't need to worry about there's nothing up there except for scriptures. But that does not help us, right? Some of it necessary, but not necessarily helping us. Because our thoughts and what we do, they shape our perceptions. And our perceptions shape our reality. And our reality can shape our future. And so when we succumb to those things, we can cloud our vision, or more specifically, our spiritual vision, right, which will then hinder us to live out God's purpose in our lives. Amen? So how do we get the positive mindset? How do we achieve that? So a couple key things. It just begins with your daily commitment to immerse yourself in God's word. You must practice discernment to be mindful of what influences you have. And then prayer is our lifeline, right? It's the way to continually focus yourself on the Lord and get that lifeline. And then let's not forget each other. We're a part of a community of believers. And we're not only called to guard our own thoughts, but we're also called to support one another in love, support one another in prayer, and encouraging each and every one of us to do what? But to focus on what is good and edifying. So I said all that to just say we need to guard our thoughts. And just to introduce what my subject is tonight, which is to take every thought captive. Amen? So if you'd like to turn into the scriptures, I'd like to talk to you from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. The KJV says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." I also wanted to pull it up in the ESV. ESV says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Amen. To take everything that's going on in there and all those arguments and all those conflicting things and set them up against the one true standard of Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask our pastor if he'd pray, speak to us tonight. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you recognize the name Martin Luther? that's famous, especially from a Christian history standpoint. He was a man who stood up against the prevailing ideologies of the time. He challenged the church teaching with scripture, and his story is really one that really exemplifies the struggle between truth and error, something that's going to continue on forever. I'll give you a little history for him. Martin Luther is born in 1483 in Germany. He became one of the most historical figures by going against ideologies, marking the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. He was a monk and a scholar, but he was deeply troubled by the Catholic Church's practices, especially around the sale of indulgences, which basically was, you know, being able to pay for your sin. And he believed that salvation came through faith in Jesus Christ alone and not through our efforts, not through a financial transaction. And he sought to reform the church from within. So very famously, on October 31st, 1517, he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And it criticized that church's practices and called for a return to the teachings of the Bible. And this sparked off the Reformation, sparked off the Protestant. And a lot came from that. And I won't read the rest I have here for it. But the point of bringing up Martin Luther is some might have viewed him as a rebel, challenging the authority that was there. Others think of him as a great leader or revolutionary, exposing truth or bringing us back, right? But for me, what was key about him, no matter what side or how you want to view him, you know, if you're the dark side or the light side of Star Wars, it just depends on which lightsaber you hold, right? That's how people determine what's good and bad most times. But the key thing that stood out about Luther to me was he asked people to go back to the scriptures. That whatever truth he was going to uncover, he wanted people to go back and say, what did the Bible say? What did the scripture say? Did the scripture say this is right or wrong? Like, let's go back to those fundamental things. Amen? And so his legacy here for me, I think, exemplifies the need to take one's beliefs and anchor them back to the scripture. Amen. Don't anchor them to the Book of Steve. Or as we found out last Funity meeting, there's a Book of Aria as well. Those are two great books, but probably not the book that you want to take your beliefs and core foundation against, right? Mine's pretty good, but there's a lot of it that's built on the sand. I'm just going to let you know, right? So when the weather's great at the beach, it's going good. But when the storms come, some of my stuff starts to fall apart, right? But Luther was saying, hey, let's go back to the foundation. Let's go down to the rock. Let's get to the scriptures and go from there. Amen? And so Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the book of Ephesians here, this is just one of the epistles in the New Testament that we attribute to Paul. And he's, you know, in most of his letters, he's writing a letter to a Christian community. And this book can be divided, from when I was reading it, into a couple sections, right? But the first, he really goes through a bunch of doctrinal teachings. This is doctrine. And then he shifts into, here's some practical advice. Here's how you should do things. Here's how you should live. And it's good, and you could go through all of them. But when we get to the end of it all, he focuses here on spiritual warfare. I say, this is good. You have your foundation, giving you some framework of how to live, how to treat each other, how the family should operate. When you get all that in place, I need you to know what's actually critically important here. Like, you have to do all that. Don't get me wrong. You have to understand doctrine. You need to know how to treat each other. But when you've got your stuff in order, I need you to be aware of what battle you're really in. Amen? That first part, lack of a better way to say it, is the easy part. Now that you're prepared, let's get you ready for battle. And so what we read was, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's the stuff we could just take care of. That's the stuff with discipline, with obedience, with paying attention, you can manage. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so he's offering insight here, guiding us to understand the essence of what we are actually needing to battle. Amen? That the battles we face daily, though a lot of them are rooted in physical reality, are also deeply intertwined with the spiritual realm. That the true conflict lies with the unseen, where thoughts and beliefs are swayed not by tangible, but by spiritual influences that challenge our faith and alliance toward our truth. I mean, how many of you have gotten involved in something that was fun, was great, was wonderful? You didn't think much about it, but then after a little while, you said, hey, wait a second. Something's off here. It's still fun. It's still wonderful. It's still all that stuff, but something's just off. It's just not right. And then through time or investigation, wherever, you find out, oh, now I understand. It's not rooted in good, godly stuff. It's rooted in something that's going to be fun and pleasurable, right? Not necessarily something that's God-focused. And God stuff can be fun and pleasurable too. Don't take that. But his message here is to say that, hey, we're talking about spiritual warfare. And that captivating our minds and our thoughts is important. It's about harnessing the power of your mind and your thoughts and aligning those with the Word of God that are going to help you get your defenses set up so that the adversary won't get you. And so he also then gives us some ways to navigate the spiritual realm. I shouldn't ask this, but can anyone see the spiritual realm? I can't. I could flow into a whole discussion about dimensions and how to see dimensions, but to see the reflection of dimensions and other dimensions, and you all would kind of glaze over, and I'll refuse from doing that. But if you ever want to have dimension talk, I'm there. We can see the effects of the spiritual dimension, but I can't see the spiritual dimension. I don't have that ability. But he tells us there's some things you can do. And so this is well known. I don't think this is going to shock any of you, but in Ephesians 6, he wrote in verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So he's given some instructions here of how to get the whole armor of God, how to fight that battle. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." The essence of captivating your mind is not a passive stance, but it's an active and daily commitment to prayer, to immersing yourself in the scripture, and to living in a state of awareness of God's presence. It's about being proactive and discerning the influences of your thoughts and questioning what doesn't align with God's truth and seeking the holy guidance in every decision and every belief. I'm sure many of you have had a negative thought come into your head. And you've had a very nice, wonderful friend or family member that just comes to you and says something absurd, like, is that true? And just a minute before, that thought had captivated your whole soul and your mind, and you were spiraling down on it because that's what your perception reality said at that time. Right? It's dark out. It's always going to be dark. I'm never going to see the sun again. It's so miserable. Never going to see grass. Nothing's going to grow. We're not going to have food. We're all going to die because the sun's not out. And then my brother comes along and goes, is that true? Doesn't the sun come up every morning? You're like, oh, wait. You're right. It does. Maybe that thought was wrong, right? Any thought that's against the biblical principle of God, you got to take captive just like that and say, this thought, does it align with what God is saying? Because if it doesn't, I don't need to dwell on that thought anymore. That's something that's just going to start taking and sucking resources out of you and diverting you from where you need to go. Amen? And I say that, and I know it's not easy. But I'm telling you, if you start applying the principles to say, this thought, I need to put it up against something. Don't go put it up against the book of Steve. The book of Steve will probably tell you what you want to hear, right? But if you take it and you put it against the word of God, it's going to give you instructions of how to deal with that thought. Amen? Amen. So in Romans 8:38, it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is encouraging us. Amen. There is a battle for your attention. There is what they call an information war, or at least that's what I'll call it. And if I explain it simply, it means we talk about fake news, we talk about this and that, but what I'm really trying to tell you what the information war is about is that videos you see are no longer videos of real stuff. Pictures that you see are no longer pictures of real stuff, right? If I'm creating something for you and I want you to believe a certain way, I will take my whole message, I'm going to edit out all the bad parts, and I'm going to just take the little snippet for you that I would like you to see, and that's what I'm going to show you to make your reality, right? There's a battle for your attention. There's a battle for your understanding. There's a battle for all of that stuff that's rapidly just hitting your brain, right? And so to navigate this landscape, we must have a very rigorous approach to verifying facts, looking at the source, and making sure we're just literate in the media, amen? It's essential for us to have critical thinking and that when we find false information, to hold them accountable for that false information. And so I say all that stuff not because I'm here to do some, like, I don't know, public or of the times thing, but I'm saying all that stuff is solved by what I just mentioned before of holding every thought captive and bringing it against the foundation, amen? So as we worry about that stuff in the world, you can bring your brain back to the very foundation of, you know what, all those thoughts, all that comes through, I can validate what I need to validate against the Word of God. Amen. So skipping down to Romans 12:2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Or said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And my analytical mind appreciates how this is said or stated here in that second one I read, which was in the ESV. Because I grew up in the church, but even growing up in church, I needed my mind renewed as well. I had to remove so many incorrect notions, incorrect feelings, and incorrect beliefs that I had gained over time about God. And how could this be if you grew up in the church? Because you're human, and you put a lot of stuff in your mind, and you assume a lot of stuff. And there's other influences, stuff that happens, but you have to get your mind to be renewed in the ways of the Lord. So it doesn't matter if you sit on a pew your whole life or you came in and sat on a pew later in life. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you can let in your head that just shouldn't be there. And it's not true. And it's not biblical. Amen? And so a truly transformed mind is what can help save you and get your soul pointed in the right direction. Amen. So Paul in the scripture, he urges not to conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And this renewing of your mind is crucial to understand God's will, to discern his will, to understand what is pleasing to him and what is perfect. We saw in 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul speaks about taking every thought captive, that it's not merely an abstract spiritual exercise, but it's the foundation that God needs us to live by. Amen? Amen. When you see me scroll like that, that's me looking at a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, that's just gibberish. That just said what I said five times that I don't need to say again. So that's good news. Amen. But I wanted to bring you to one more scripture here in Colossians 2:8. And again, I'll read KJV and then ESV. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." That sounds a little bit like the book of Steve. "After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Amen. So I joke about the book of Steve a lot. All the book of Steve is not bad. In fact, I would recommend that probably 88% of it is actually really good and truthful. Because 88% of it is all based on God's word. And it's basically me just saying God's word again, right? It's the other 12% you got to worry about. And that's why I make jokes of it. So no one goes and says, "Oh, the book of Steve is good." That's actually really for Ian, who is a big fan of the book of Steve. And we will write it one day. It'll be awesome. But Colossians here said, make sure no one takes you captive by philosophy. Amen. I can prove to you, everyone here, that 1 = 2. I can do it. I've done it to many of you. And so if you don't remember, I could do it again. I can guarantee you, though, that this man sitting back here, Brother Bresky, is not going to be fooled by it. And he's going to circle exactly where I made that one little mistake where it's not true. But I could probably hold the rest of you captive as I used math to prove 1 = 2, right? And I say that just because holding your thoughts captive would say, wait a second, does 1 = 2? I don't know. Let me go look at the good book. Good book says it doesn't. Let's go investigate. And Brother Bresky would come right next to you and say, okay, let's look at these scriptures, and here's the mistake. And if you guys ever want to know, if anyone tries to trick you with that, just look for where they divide by zero. That's your hint. But there's some profound foresight and spiritual wisdom about cautioning us against being taken captive by these worldly philosophies, emphasizing the importance of submitting your thoughts to Christ. Amen? There's a lot of cool stuff out there. Amen? There's a lot of cool philosophies. When I look at a lot of self-help stuff, a lot of self-help stuff is really, really good. And you wonder why? Because most of them follow biblical principles. And all they did was they polished it. They put a little 2020, whatever this year is, 2024 on top of it, with some cool phrases and some cool multimedia things. But if you boiled it down to whatever their 12-step, 3-step, 10-step, whatever program is, it comes down to stuff that the Bible tells you you should do in your life. Some of it tells you to do some completely other stuff. Those things are, I'd suggest, are not good. But if you take those things and you go against the Bible and say, oh, I have scripture that tells me to do these things. Amen? But there's a lot of stuff out there that want to give you a quick fix or easy answer. And sometimes those are in stark contrast to the truth. And as believers, we're called not to passively accept things, but we're called to actively discern what God wants us to do. And that the thoughts that come into our mind, we need to actively filter them to make sure that we're in alignment with what he's telling us, what the scripture says is here today, and then also of what's coming tomorrow. Amen? It requires us to be students of the word and sensitive to the guidance of his spirit. Amen? So as I'm closing, let's read Joshua 1:9. It says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I know I talked a lot about your mind and captivating your thoughts, and it, to me it just speaks because I have a lot of stuff that goes in my mind, and I know that if I didn't actively manage it, I'd be more of a mess than what you see me. And if you don't think I'm a mess, thank you for being my friend. But the scripture lays it out pretty clear for us about how we need to manage ourselves and manage our minds, right? That we need to let our mind be transformed for his type of thinking. That we need to capture our thoughts and put them against the word. And make sure that what we're thinking is actually valid and true. And if it's not, let's discover why. Amen? That we can hold fast to the wisdom that Paul shared with us in Philippians 4:8. That a guiding beacon to illuminate the path for our heart and our mind to transform. Amen? So I'll just close here, just come back to the title. That sometime this week, probably now or on your way home or when you wake up in the morning, a thought's going to come in and you're going to immediately recognize it's that type of thought. And maybe you're not going to be able to do what you want to do with it because it's going to start captivating you. But I'm going to encourage you to take that thought captive and just remember these scriptures that I've provided tonight for you to say, hey, wait a second. That thought is wanting to take control of me. I'm going to take control of it. And I'm going to put it up against the Word of God. And if the Word of God doesn't say something different, then I'm no longer taking that thought with me. It's not something I need to invest time on. It's not something I need to take on and put on myself. God didn't say that. God doesn't support that. It's not worth my time anymore. Amen? And then lastly, just remember you're not alone. So as nice as it is to have a Bible to take those thoughts and kind of do that analytical thinking of trying to just manage it that way, I know there's also emotions involved. There's feelings involved. There's chemicals in your body involved that just like make stuff go crazy, right? Remember that even as you're going through all that, you're not alone. You have a community here that's with you and for you. And more importantly, God is with you as well. Amen. That's my message tonight. If you'd like to stand. I would ask our pastor if he'd go ahead and pray for us.